Yeah, very good. Sign them up. All right, open your Bible to the book of Matthew. That's the first book of the New Testament. Chapter 5. Seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain when he was set. His disciples came unto him. He opened his mouth and he taught them. Wow. Can you imagine? Sitting there on the mountainside north of the Sea of Galilee, looking out over that beautiful sight. Those of you that have been there know what it is to look out over that sea from there on the Mount of Beatitudes. And he opened his mouth. Now, I'm going to guarantee you one thing. The scenery was overwhelmed by the words from his lips. It was as nothing when he started talking. Blessed. Blessed. Happy and to be envied are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, when we come to the second one in verse 4, it's very akin to the first one. And again, it's not consistent with human reasoning. It doesn't make sense that blessed are the poor in spirit. That just really is not the way people ordinarily think about blessed people that are poor in spirit. Now, you're going to have the poor in spirit and those that mourn and the meek and they that hunger and thirst. Those are not the kind of people you generally think of as blessed or blessed. It's just not that way at all. And whenever you come from the poor in spirit to they that mourn, you just don't think of people who are mourning in mourning as blessed people. You think of them ordinarily as hurting people, deprived people, people that are in distress, but you don't think of them as blessed. That's just not the way it works. Our minds, I find it hard for my mind to function like that. Those that mourn, blessed, blessed are those that mourn. The way we see things, it's happy are the happy. That's the way we see it. You know, happy are the happy. To be envied are those who are to be envied. The people that have everything going for them and going their way, everything's going right. They do not have any problems at home. Their kids are just ideal to be envied by every parent who ever lived. And their kids are just honoring them and blessing them. And there's no problem with them. Their health is perfect. And, oh, everything. I mean, the car doesn't break down and the sink doesn't leak. And, you know, the toilet always flushes and everything like that. Happy are the happy. But that's not what the Lord said. The second words, segment of words out of his mouth are, blessed are they that mourn. Now, if I could give you just a little picture to introduce some change in the concept we have about happy are the happy. I think you'll get this. Little Johnny is playing and he falls down and he scrapes his hand on the asphalt and he is mourning, loudly crying. Fact is, in that word mourn has the idea of wailing. And if you've ever had a kid do that, especially if you hadn't been getting much attention anyhow, they will wail. And mama goes to him, and mama says, "Son, here, let me kiss it and make it well." She puts her arms around him. She takes the hurt spot and puts it to her lips. And I don't know what happens, but it makes it better. You know it, and I know it too. Blessed are they that mourn. If you've got multiple kids, you know the difference when they're playing between that fake mourning and the hurt kind of mourning. And that little attention getting wah doesn't get your attention. But when there's an ow, you know that's the hurt kind. And that kind is what gets the attention. Blessed are they that mourn. Now, I want to take that and go a little further, because this is the common experience of life in all areas of our life. But, of course, this goes beyond a physical thing, even as the poor in spirit. It's the poor in spirit. It's not just the poor, though the poor may be poor in spirit. It's not just the poor financially. It's those that are poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom. Theirs is the kingdom of God. Now, whenever it comes to this, it goes beyond a physical thing. There's always physical ramifications to this, but it's a spiritual truth. It does express itself many times in a physical application, but it is a spiritual truth. Now, in Luke chapter 4, in Luke chapter 4 is somewhat of a similar sermon. Some people think it's the same sermon. It's not foreign or to be unexpected that Jesus would have preached this same sermon again, or at least segments of it again, though it's not recorded in its entirety. And of course, it's all the way through the Gospels. And we preachers do that. We do this. Like somebody said, Sunday, whenever you started to get on the airplane, if everything broke out, I could have finished the sermon from there. I mean, you know, and that's good. That's good. You knew where that was going. I got a picture through text message from someone this week that heard the sermon. And it took me a minute. I tried to figure out what in the world is this picture. And I looked at it. I looked at it one way, and I looked at it another way, and I looked at it. And I was seeing a thing in there that looked like some kind of an animal. But that was not the thing that the picture was really of. The picture was of someone sitting at the door of an airplane, took a picture of someone stepping across from the jetway onto the airplane. And then that said, "Great sermon Sunday, just wanted to send you this picture." And they sent me that. I thought, how neat that is. But when Jesus was speaking in Nazareth and speaking to the people there, he read from Isaiah chapter 61. Let's go back to it, if you will. We're in Bible study. Let's go back in the Bible and look at Isaiah chapter 61. You know it. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings. Isaiah 61:1. Unto the meek. Now they're in here in the Beatitudes. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance, our God, and to comfort all that mourn. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Oh, now, whenever you read that and you see this is appointed to them that mourn in Zion, they're going to get beauty for ashes. They're going to get the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. They're called the tree of righteousness, the planting, in other words, planted, this is planted of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Now, can you begin to get a little different vision of this? That blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are they that mourn. In the book of Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, it says the Messiah will come and comfort. And the scripture says, comfort ye my people. Now, to mourn is grieving. It's to grieve either as a feeling or as an act. And the word comfort means to call near. And that's that whole thing that I told you about mama and the little one. There is a crying out. There's a grieving. There is a hurting. And the comfort is, come here, let mama kiss it and make it better. That's comfort, to come near. Now, in the spiritual aspect of it, in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, it says, there is a godly sorrow. In fact, let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. If you have it there in front of you, you can turn your Bible. Down in verse 10, godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. So here there is a godly sorrow and there's a worldly sorrow. Without a doubt, he's talking about the mourning here is a godly mourning, a spiritual wailing and calling out to God, and a spiritual desire that is there. No doubt that this is a truth about salvation. When a person comes to the end of themselves and they cry out to God, the scripture says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that is a needy one crying out. Now, it may be very emotional, it may be very loud, it may be very, very quiet, whatever. But there is a crying out, even as the poor in spirit say, I do not have what I need. I am not what I should be. I need something else. I am poor. I'm deprived in this. I need you. And so it is that this is the call that is joined with that poor in spirit. The mourning that is there. I need you, Lord. Now, a person may be sorrowful for their sin. They may be sorrowful because many times they're sorrowful. And you know this as well as I, that they're sorrowful because they got caught. And they're sorrowful for the consequences. And it's a very selfish sorrow. Sometimes people are sorry for the situations that they have gotten themselves into financially. And they cry out to God. God didn't get them in the situation. God didn't put them there. They put themselves there. Then they cry out to God to deliver me from what I got myself into. And I didn't get myself into this by serving you. I just got myself into this. Now, God, you get me out of it. And then they get mad at God whenever God doesn't get them out of what they got themselves into. That's worldly. Worldly sorrow. But godly sorrow leads to that change of dependence, not on myself, but on God. Some people are sorry for what they've done because of what it does to their family, because of what it does to others around them. And there's a true sorrow about that. Now, that can lead to a spiritual sorrow. That can lead to a godly sorrow, or a sorrow toward God, or a mourning toward God. Some people cry out to God because of what it's done to themselves, because of their physical condition, because of a sickness that comes upon them, or because of an accident that happens, or whatever like that. Now, that can lead to a godly sorrow, but that in itself is not a godly sorrow. Because godly sorrow leads to repentance. I change my mind about a thing. I mean, I'm completely changed about that. My attitude changes. My thinking about it changes. Everything about me changes on that. And that results in an outward action. But it's an inward thing that takes place. There are many people who change outward actions who do not change their attitude. They do not repent of that. They change the way they act, but they've not repented of it. It's possible to do that. There are many people who act in a certain way because it is enforced upon them to act a certain way. But there's no change in them. But godly sorrow worketh repentance. That's on the inside. It changes that person on the inside. Now, when that happens and a person comes to the end of themselves and they see what their sin, not what their sin has done to them, not what their sin has done to their mama, not what their sin has done to their wife, not what their sin has done to their kids, not what sin has done to their home or anything like that. They see what their sin did to Jesus. What happens then? They're saved. They come and mourn. And the comfort that is given is forgiveness. Amen. Forgiveness is given. Blessed are they that mourn. Oh, blessed is that person. Blessed is that person that says, oh, preacher, you don't understand. I'm not even worthy to walk in a church, much less talk to God. Glory. Hallelujah. You are blessed. You are blessed. For you'll be comforted. You'll be comforted. And the comfort is that you are drawn close to Him. It's exactly what it means to draw close to Him. If you're in 1 Corinthians, just keep turning a little ways to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. And Ephesians chapter 2, down in verse 13. He talks about we are aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers of the covenants of promise and so forth, without hope and without God in the world. But, verse 13, now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes, who sometimes were far off, are made nigh. Now you see the comparison there? It's exactly what it's talking about, what Jesus is speaking of in this beatitude. Blessed are they that mourn, they shall be comforted. Those that were far off are made nigh. If you study the word that is translated made nigh, it means to take in the crook of the arm. It means to put right there, to draw up close, to draw up close. What a beautiful picture. What a beautiful picture. That's salvation. That's salvation. But this mourning is not only true of salvation. It is true in our Christian walk. As we walk with the Lord, as we begin our journey in a father-child relationship, we walk with our Father. Sometimes we walk away from His side. I said this in baccalaureate here for University High School. Almost every time a child gets hurt, they're disobeying. A child falls out of the tree and breaks its arm. Call 911, love the kid, kiss on it, do whatever you want to, pamper it, do everything you want to. But the fact is, they were told, don't you climb that tree. Now, you take care of the restoration until the restoration happens, and then you say, now. And you must come to this time. As a parent, you must come to this time. Now, you know why you broke your arm, don't you? Well, I fell out of the tree. No, that's not really why you broke your arm. You broke your arm because you were disobeying. You were doing what you were told not to do. Kid burns its hand on the stove. Oh, my soul, rush. Get baking powder or baking soda or whatever you do and put on it and do this and do that and everything you can. An aloe, break a limb or a leaf off the little aloe plant and rub it on there and everything like that. Everything like that. Why'd they get burned their hand? They had been told, don't touch that. Don't touch that. Why were they burned? They were burned because they disobeyed. So it goes. Sometimes we go away from the Father's side. Sometimes we get broken arms. Sometimes we get burned. Sometimes we get all kinds of stuff happens to us. And the Father, we cry, and the Father draws us unto Himself, but He's going to deal with that disobedience. Sometimes we walk through difficult times that are not disobedient times. I do not find in the Word of God where the three Hebrew children prayed in the fiery furnace. It's not there. But they must have been pretty well prayed up before they were in there. They were pretty well prayed up before they opened the doors and threw them in. But they walked through that place that was difficult. But whenever they got to the place of the ultimate difficulty, they found someone met them there. And they had cried out to the Lord for guidance and instruction. And when they did, they were comforted. We could go on and on. Some people walk through suffering. That's not because of any disobedience. They just walk through suffering. They walk through that time. It's not because they have brought unto themselves a sickness because of sin. It's not because of anything that's happened like that. They just walk through a time of suffering. Sometimes it's just a natural result of things of life here on this earth. You know, I think about the people in Texas and in Oklahoma. Particularly Oklahoma has been so hard hit this season, hasn't it? I mean, it's just been devastated. And why, I don't know. I think we'd be wrong to say that's the judgment of God. I think we'd be wrong to say that there is another power that works in that. But Job walked through suffering. He walked through suffering not because he had walked away from God, but because he walked close to God. And the devil said, let me have him. And the Lord said, okay, because he'll stay true to me. No matter what happens, whether he understands it or does not understand it, he'll stay true to me. And the devil said, no, he won't stay true to you. He only serves you because he's wealthy. He only serves you because you have blessed him. That's the only reason he serves you. God says, I'll let you touch him. I'll let you take his wealth. I'll let you take his family. I'll let you put him in misery physically. But you can't kill him. He's mine. He's mine. And all that happened. And God comforted Job. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He didn't say, though he lets the devil slay me. He says, though he slay me, I'll trust him. I'll trust him. Whenever he walked through that, and he did walk through that, there was an arm that went around him and helped him and comforted him, corrected him a little bit. If you read the end of the book of Job, he corrected him a little bit, but comforted him, pulled him to himself. And whenever we walk that place, I think, you know, Lee walking through that in the morning, there's nothing eager about walking into that place and saying, okay, here I am. Wow, boy, I'm excited about this. No, there's nothing like that. Margot, last Thursday night, we talked about Margot. And we talked last Thursday night how that she had been to the doctor, and the doctor said, I don't see anything there. I think those kidney stones are gone. And she was just rejoicing and thrilled and happy and everything like that. But she got up. I think they're in New York, aren't they? Isn't it New York? Or in? Where?
Maryland.
And up there she's having this pain. She says, John, I got to go to the hospital. And they take her in. And the doctor up there says, well, what they did was an x-ray. And it didn't show up on the x-ray. And so we're going to do a scan. They did the scan that showed up. 6 millimeter and an 8 millimeter. Or centimeter. Not a millimeter. Centimeter. And Margo, if you're watching, I'm sorry. But that's devastating. You don't understand that. I think about Cindy Driggers. God bless her heart. She goes in, boy, 4 bypasses, just boom, just like that. But walking through that, blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are they. Whenever you take that last walk through the valley of the shadow, fear no evil. Fear no evil. In that time of mourning, fear no evil. For I'm with thee. He will walk with us. I was praying for Lee today. And I said, Lee, whenever they take you in there tomorrow, you'll be conscious of the Lord. Whenever you come out, you'll be conscious. But there'll be a time you won't be conscious of the Lord. Because you will not be conscious. But whenever you're not conscious of him, he's still conscious of you. Let me sum it up and finish by saying this. Don't seek to avoid a situation which will cause our Father to put his arms of love about you, draw you close to himself, and kiss it and make it well. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And the comfort wherewith he is comforts us, we are to take, 2 Corinthians tells us. In chapter 1, look at 2 Corinthians. I've got to turn to it. I wasn't going to, but I want you to. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints that are in Achaia, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace always precedes peace in the apostles. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of what? All comfort. Now look at verses 4 and 5, particularly verse 4. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth in Christ. Whether it be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which ye also suffer. Whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that you are partakers of the sufferings also shall be also of the consolation. It's just comfort, 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 comfort. And when you're comforted, comfort one another. When he puts his arm out around you and draws you up close to himself, you're supposed to do that same kind of thing. So there it is. Blessed are they that mourn. They that mourn. That heart crying to God. That hurt one that he hears, he comforts, he draws close to himself. The shepherd, I am told, if he had a sheep that was prone to wander, would go off on its own from neglect or from attraction of things and would not stay with the flock. Sometimes a shepherd would take the rod and break a leg of that sheep. And that sheep was totally dependent on the shepherd. It could not get anywhere without the shepherd. Was dependent on the shepherd to see and space and take special care of it till it healed. And it is said once the sheep experienced that relationship with the shepherd, it never wandered off again. Thy rod and thy staff, they blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand together.